Welcome back. One WhatsApper is indicating that he's making note of the ideas. He says, don't give away your ideas. And he's already registering, making a note, Main Man Limited. But it's good to share ideas, truthfully. I'm not saying that you'll give away all if you need them for yourself. I certainly don't. Things like that, I just share because if God gives you a talent and you kind of know a few things, you share it. And this is where Black people now have to pull together. And especially in these times, there are a lot of people out of work, Black people, brown people, maybe even white people too, out of work. And I think we all need to get out of this situation. And if we have ideas to share, we share them. Another person is basically saying, Joanne, I agree with you. There is a young lady who works for a five-star hotel. And she has great skills. She is making pizza dough. The price and taste, it's great. Persons are supporting her. It's important to pivot your business. It is very important at this time. COVID is not going anywhere soon. It doesn't look that way. Businesses have to change their models, which will include possibly laying you off. So let us accept that may happen or is happening. How are you going to feed yourself and your family is something now that you really need to sit down and give some thought to. And those of you there who have information, who have the skills to help, should help for free. I mean, I'm not saying that if the business takes off, then you can make something from it, but there's small businesses and there are people out there who need some help. There are a lot of people with talent, but then they don't know how to market that talent, how to price it, how to present it. So don't give up because, you know, you've been laid off at the hotel. It might be the best thing for you. You never know. You might thank them a year from now. I certainly can testify to things like that. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just my concern. I know it came on late because you even just changed the station to hear y'all. But my concern, my question is,
You're coming through a little fuzzy here. Could you, I don't know if you're on a cell phone, if you're in a...
Is it any better?
Okay, go ahead. Let's see.
The last five cases were said that they came to Barbados, they were tested before, and they were retested. They were tested before they were negative. They were retested, and they were found to be positive for the COVID-19 virus, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What procedure? I saw everything online and on Facebook and about the new things about tourists coming into Barbados and where they can get tests. What happens now if they come in, they're tested, and they're negative? They're among us all as Barbadians walking, they're tourists. I mean, you can't limit them to like say, well, hey, you know what, you need to like quarantine yourself. They're here to enjoy Barbados. No. What happens if they test negative? And remember, it's 14 days. 2 weeks later, a week later, they're positive. What do we have in place? I mean, after spending 2-3 months under lockdown, are we a nation in that position that we can be locked down again because of negligence or a situation like that? What we really have in place?
For the tourists you're referring to?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the airport. I mean, it's fantastic.
I thought the airport setup was fantastic, truthfully.
Beautiful.
You couldn't ask for better. The chairman has done a good job. The CEO has done a good job. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But what happens if they come in today? They're tested negative because there's a section where they can go and get tests if they don't have, you know, 72 hours the report from their doctor. And in 10 days, they come down with the virus.
Oh, I see. So if you test them, okay, so let's put that scenario out there. You come in, you don't have your papers, you come in and you're tested right away at the airport. Wait for your test results, it's negative. However, they're telling you that there's a 2 week period that this thing can show up.
Not only that, mm-hmm. example of the last five cases.
Correct.
They were tested, they were negative.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about it, they were in quarantine. So then they were tested again.
self-quarantine.
And they were positive. Mm-hmm. But I can say from what I see on the news that they were in quarantine.
No, they did say that it was self-quarantine.
Self-quarantine. Mm-hmm. And then in the second test, they were positive. What happens now? These people told their tourists, you can't tell tourists that they're self-quarantine.
Well, you could. You could, depending on what you're offering him before he comes. That's why I was saying that if you really want to come to Barbados, which I am sure we all welcome the tourists. We do. I mean, we need them. So if you're coming and you didn't get the test, because remember, a person said on WhatsApp, countries, there are people who cannot get this test in the way that we can. Some people have to wait weeks before they can get a test, so they may not get the 72-hour test prior to travel. So let's just say that they come here and they are negative. Then they're tested in 7 days and they're negative. Then they're tested in another 7 days, which would make it the almost coming on to the end of the 14-day period, but then turn positive.
But what happens if a person is only coming for a week?
But see, that's why the Prime Minister, but that's what I'm saying. It makes absolutely no sense, I don't think, for people to plan vacations anywhere in the world for 1 week, in particular if they have these types of quarantine issues. That's why the Prime Minister, and I think she should take it a step further, and maybe she has, it's persons coming to work remotely, they'll give a year stamp. But I think even more importantly is people, returning visitors that used to come for 2 weeks, try to see if we can get them into a 6-week vacation. Whereas the first 2 weeks, you offer them something of a reduced rate, maybe complimentary lunch to keep them a little quiet, waiting for these test results. They can still enjoy the hotel, put everything in place. And so that if they are negative, they got the 2 weeks. If they're positive, they still got to stay for the 2 weeks. And then when they come out with two double negatives, they can continue the rest of their holiday for maybe another 4 weeks. We have to encourage long-stay visitors, period.
Instead of short-term.
Instead of short-term. We cannot look at short-term visitors. We absolutely can't in a COVID environment. It has to be 4-6 weeks. You know, 2 weeks is a waste of time, because if you're positive, then that's it, you know. So, yeah. So, but again, working from Barbados is what has been promoted. I think it's a fantastic idea. I also think that we to go along with that, and I think it might have been mentioned, longer holidays if you can. And yes, persons may only get 2 weeks vacation, but there are people who have retired and they want to get out of some of the hot spots because they're old and they may want to spend 6 months in Barbados relaxing. That's a long holiday if they have the money, and we can start promoting that.
Well,
we can start promoting
also,
that.
I find you look around and you as government, as people that we put in place in power, it doesn't have to be government, it could be in service or whatnot. You look around and you see certain things. I looked at this situation right now, it's this Antiguan Barbuda, where there were people there came in and refused to get the test and said that it's their inhumane to get the test. They were going to sue the government. There were people that tested, that came in, tested, were put in quarantine and took a flight out the next day. You know, you still got to, as much as we want tourism, we still got to realize people more important, you know. No matter what,
People need to understand that they themselves are more important. And when we say A, we say B. Again, I said in the beginning, government sets the protocols, the CMO, the chief medical officer, the czar helps communicate these things, make sure that they lead by example. But the average Barbadian, they need to wear a mask when they're going out in front of people. So we all have a part to play. That's what I'm trying to say. We all have a part to play. What I am concerned about is the tweaking, because I believe it needs to be adjusted. When visitors come, the quarantining experience is what is it, how long is it, and the monitoring of it. I refuse to accept that you believe that people will do the right thing and you just leave them.
we will put something in place in terms of, as I said, by example, in Antigua, they were tested positive. They booked a flight and left the next day. You know, there are things, do we have something in place that can stop?
Someone is saying, come on, Ms. Sig, in the real world, we don't get that type of vacation. Clearly, this person is not listening. I'm saying, forget holiday, as in you have to work. Most people get 2 weeks. It makes no sense coming.
Yeah.
However, persons who are retired and want to stay for longer periods, you have to see if you can go after that market. You also then have to go after the market that the Prime Minister is speaking of. If you can work remotely from Barbados, come, we'll give you a one-year stamp. There's no taxes for you to pay in terms of corporation tax because you're not setting up a company here. All you're doing is they're going to rent a car, they're going to pay for a villa, they're going to buy food, they're going to go to the supermarket, they're going to contribute to the economy for a period of 1 year. So I'm not speaking of regular, let's go on a two-week vacation to Barbados. I believe that persons need to understand that's a waste of their money. Because they can come and they can have to quarantine, or there is a possibility that their negative could turn into a positive on an airplane. Because you can have people who have the negative certificate, 60% on the plane have the negative certificate, the other 40% did not get the negative certificate and exposed the ones that got the negative certificate. If you understand what I'm saying, it can happen.
Probably.
It probably did happen, maybe with the five passengers. Who knows if they were exposed with that one passenger that came in, and possibly when they're tested, the exposure was too close to the time of testing, hence the reason why it didn't show up. And then it showed up then a week later. They could have been exposed on the airplane from that one person. There's a lot of things floating around, and I don't expect the Czar, I don't expect the Prime Minister, I don't expect the CMO, everybody to get it right. Because the whole world is still trying to wrap their brain around the right way. So I think all of our solutions that we're putting on the table is just to help minimize the spread. It's not going to do it 100%. But the tweaking of a quarantine, I think, needs to be addressed. Final word?
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, too. Dr. Brastax, you're on the air.
Hello, Ms. Egg. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What about you?
I'm fine, thanks for now. Ms. Egg, you actually stole my thunder, because one of the things that you just said just now at 1:30 is exactly one of the things that I called to raise the point about. Because if you're saying that the government has said publicly that persons who do not get their test where they are at home, they could still fly to Barbados and get the test after. But I was wondering if these persons that are going to be flying without a certificate are going to be flying on a private jet. Because if they're flying with people who have tested negative, mm-hmm. and then these untested persons come to the country and test positive, it means then that all of those persons with the negative certificates were then exposed to that positive person who came untested. Who was think to mix tested people with untested people? Ms. Higgs.
But you see, that's the thing. When you have an airport and an airline that has no rules for when the people get on the plane,
right?
We have our rules in place. We can't mandate other people. But for me, and I noticed people said that, Joanne, you're dreaming, because I remember putting this on my Facebook page in March, early March. If the whole world doesn't come together and do the same thing, then right. We're all in trouble. And somebody said, you expect everybody to do the same thing? I said, no, I don't expect everybody. I expect world leaders to come up with things that they can share the information and come up with things that make sense. So we have our Prime Minister now who's struggling to bring tourism back, you know, to this country. And there are other countries that are tourism-based. But then you have New York and you've got England, and they're letting on people on airplanes, whether you tested negative, positive, or didn't get a test. But we have our rules in place, which means we have to inherit, or we're gonna get everybody else's problem becoming our problem, because other places don't do the same thing that we've asking them, that we're requiring the tourists to do. So you understand that when you're on one page, we can't flatten this curve. We're going around in circles. The whole world will be going around in circles. You imagine if we had leaders who had good judgment worldwide. I mean, because people like Trump and, you know, you're kind of asking yourself, how did they get into power? Mm-hmm. But truthfully, and I would give Miss Motley her props, she is a leader that has good moral judgment. She has good judgment, in my opinion. She has what you call moral leadership. So, and you have people like her out there, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and there are other prime ministers out there that do, you know, the same thing. So if you have people in places to make these decisions like Trump and they don't, you imagine if for 2 weeks, from the time we heard COVID hit the U.S., or even China, because as far as I'm concerned, the same way how we have an agreement, the Paris Agreement, where we're saying, all right, we're all going to commit to climate change. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. All these countries committed to climate change. We need to have an agreement that commits to any country that has a novel virus, shut it down. In other words, don't let get out. Don't let us repeat this again. So if we're now here, you're trying to tell me that these leaders can get together. For 2 weeks, we can just shut down the commercial flights, leave maybe commerce open for the ports and stuff for people to eat. 14 days, call it 19 days in keeping with COVID-19 and give an extra 5 days. You mean to tell me that the world would have been so impacted to just shut down for 19 days? We can have leaders that had common sense in America and Brazil, people who refused to accept that COVID was real. I mean, I know I'm living in an airy-fairy world when it comes to that, but I'm just saying it would have been good. It would have been good. Lessons learned now for the next pandemic, because there's going to be another one. It may not be in my lifetime or yours.
But, Missig,
but we know that one will come.
Missig, in the absence of standardization, right, as it relates mm-hmm. to the coronavirus and the whole standardization I just spoke about internationally, in the absence of that standardization, right, I believe that we are now at the stage where we need to stop hoping for the best and instead prepare for the worst. Second chances are not often given, but since this country has been given a second chance, I believe that we know you to utilize that to the best of our ability. All like now, supermarkets should have a system in place to ensure that they are in a position to continue operating their stores during the next island-wide shutdown. It wasn't too long ago that the supermarket had through a partnership meeting forced mm-hmm. the government's hand to allow them to reopen mm-hmm. so that their customers...
You're thinking that we're heading for another one?
But of course, Mr. Why? Of course. Look at how everything is happening. Look at mm-hmm. the point that you and I just...
No, I just wanted your opinion as to why you think it is heading for another shutdown.
Right, because mm-hmm. I remember a report some months ago when this whole thing started to blow up worldwide that they said that one person... is a possibility of one person spreading the virus to tens of thousands of people. One person. So if one person could do that much damage, and then all of those other persons that get infected do the same amount of damage, we will be back in a shutdown in no time. It happened already, and it's not impossible to happen again. And in the same way that the supermarkets forced the government to open, allow them to reopen so the customers could physically enter the stores, what now for in this second chance, the question must be asked, are they now in a position to facilitate telephone delivery services to the elderly and online purchases for the younger generation? During the next shutdown, are commercial banks going to be allowed to facilitate ATM deposits? Also, how will the government facilitate the transportation of essential workers during the shutdown? Mm-hmm. Because if they're going to have to drive their own cars like last time, it means that car parts stores and mechanics will have to remain open so that the essential workers can keep the vehicles on the road. Will the NAS be in a financial position to build people the unemployment benefits that they will have to do? Or are we going to see again that the government is going to rush the parliament to yet again extend the amount of time that the NAS and businesses have to do these sales?
But you remember when the prime minister said, if we don't adhere to the protocols, mm-hmm. know that she's relaxing some of them, but we must right. continue, then we will find ourselves back into where we were. But right. I'm saying that the only way we can find ourselves back there is with imports. Because, so, I think we get it as Barbadians. If we had no imports, no flights, which, and by the way, we need, so no one quote me to say that we shouldn't have flights. If we didn't have flights, we wouldn't have a problem.
Right.
Because we would just be Barbadians and not having any tourists and everybody partying and without a mask, because we would be declared COVID-free. But we can't survive like that. We tried it. We were COVID-free for about a couple of weeks before the first one came. And everybody was, wow, I can't wait to get into the Gap. And you can understand, people felt tied down. But it is a joint effort between Barbadians doing what they're supposed to do, but the policies that have been put in the place by the government. I strongly believe they need to look at the imports of how people are being treated when it comes to having to quarantine. And one person, before we take the break, because we've got to take one, Joanne, doctors and nurses work with confirmed COVID cases and leave and go home COVID-free. And the reason is because they protect themselves. So if you travel on a plane and you can't speak for everyone on the plane, then do the next best thing, which is to protect yourself by wearing your mask and sanitizing as much as possible. Keep away from people. We can live with this if we follow the science. Now, to answer this person, I don't know if he's been on an airplane, how close seating is, but you can't wear a mask for 8.5 hours coming from England to Barbados. It's impossible, and you have to use a bathroom. And on that note, I want to thank you. It's 1:43 heading home. This WhatsApper says, this mask thing is amazing. I exercise in the gym in a mask. People need to stop whining. It's like people wearing seatbelts. The majority do it, and then you have those who whine about it on their neck and their chest and everywhere else. And he did the big stoops. I don't agree with you, sir, because you might be very healthy that you can exercise in a mask, but you have to consider other people and how they feel, their asthmatics and so on. So it's not that you shouldn't wear the mask. I think that what people have to understand is once you are in a public place and you're amongst people, then you need to wear your mask. If you are by yourself, you're walking the street and you're walking your dog, and you're not with anyone at all, then don't wear it. If you're walking your dog with your spouse or somebody from the family, then that's okay. Just know where and when to wear the mask. Dr. Brastax, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Hayes.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm sorry if I sound as if I'm racing, but I would like to get in all of these callers and WhatsApps in 15 minutes.
I was waiting almost an hour.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
But anyway,
though,
let me tell you quickly. I wish that these people, our people, will use common sense and stop talking nonsense and use a mask. The men got to use a 6-layer mask now, talking about the doctors in the surgery have to use a mask. I had to use one till I come out of the hospital. We had to get immunization against TB and so forth. And you know something? They tell me that I could not work on the TB block because each time I go and get the TB immunization, I come up negative. But listen, I work on the private block. And we had private people that come in and get treated for the TB. And I work with them, and I never catch it. Okay? Then I was in the classroom, and I had to get the typhus bacillus immunization. And you know what happened? That thing made me sick, sick, sick. Another nurse, every time she go and get the TB immunization, she had to be admitted to the ward. She was sick. You get what I'm saying? The minute is you enter into the surgery door, you have to put on a mask. And if I am going out of my house anywhere, I pack my bag from the night before and I put my mask in it. I don't care what nobody say. I'm not going in no crowd and don't have on my mask. And I would tell anybody that is going into the crowd,
Wear the mask. That's the thing. Just wear it. Was it yesterday? I was somewhere at a function. I had my mask on and I wanted to cough. And I said, dear God, coughing in Barbados now is like a crime. And so I ran out. Listen, we weren't even indoors. We were outdoors. I just walked quickly close to my car, and this thing killing my throat here now because you just want to clear your throat.
Right.
And I had to let it one cough right by the car. and then walk back in with a nice little smile and my mask on, because you can't afford to cough in front of people now.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm saying is you need to know when and where. On an airplane coming from England, if you need a breather, go to the bathroom, you know. And lower, go to the bathroom. And then if you know you're traveling for 8 hours, wear a mask that you are comfortable in, not this thing that glued on, you know.
Yeah,
that
I do all of that.
You don't have
to
do all of that.
You wear a comfortable mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I got cotton material out there that you can make a cotton mask.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you something now. My church group went to Guyana 10 years ago. And before we leave here, 10 days before, we had to go to the Sir Winston Scott Polyclinic and get the immunization against malaria. And let me tell you something. The reaction, I had a yellow bump on my mouth. Here, some of the other girls had different reactions.
Mm.
And I remember when I had typhus bacillus, when I was in the classroom, as I tell you just now, that thing made me so sick. And my mother, who went to the university and further Ada, quite could spell Ada backward or forward, my mother told me, you see, if you had gotten that thing, you see how sick it would make you. Then next thing you know, I left and I went to the United States of America and worked. And I worked at Sloan Kettering Hospital. And we had this big talk case come in. And the nurse, the head people asked me when I went to the office if I ever had the rubella titter. They said, well, I paused, because this is a big job and it's paying big money. Oh yeah, they sent me for the test. And they say, yes, you had chicken pox, so you could work with the case. And I worked with the case, and I never catch none. I worked here at the Barbados, Queen Elizabeth, the General Hospital, the Arms House, and I never catch anything. But that didn't mean that we had private people come in and get the treatment. We had even people from overseas. We had people from Sweden. We had a patient from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. The husband was a lawyer, and she had a bad tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
She get treated right here at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I went back to her country.
Okay. Well, I want to, somebody's here saying that this is their auntie on the air talking, so whoever that niece is messaging you, she's saying that that's her auntie talking. So clearly you have a lot of knowledge in what you speak about. I want to thank you, and I'm going to take one, two more calls. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon. I was alive 20 years ago when they watched two planes knocked down three steel-reinforced skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
Broad daylight. Two planes.
It's 20 years already?
20 years. Sorry?
That's 20 years already?
20 years have gone. Nobody was put before a court saying, well, them structural engineers, you know, people who build that thing must have done something wrong, because that never happened before. It's never happened since. But what did take place was an excuse to go and invade a certain part of the world that cost millions of lives and millions more in displacement. A number of leaders got killed, generals got killed. You had all kinds of prisons and dark sites being put up all over the world. And you had, in the United States, all kinds of rights being taken away, where you can be put in jail now forever without representation, because that is legal and nobody really speaks about these things. We're in a world where things could happen that really make no sense. And you're saying, well, perhaps the press, something could drop off the truck to prove that things are happening. And people who speak about them in the way that I'm speaking about that particular event are conspiracy theorists. And they have no brain. I want to challenge anybody who said I'm an idiot or something is wrong with my brain. Things happen that really make no sense. And you really feel out on left field when you realize that the press, the major media houses, do not take up that particular stance.
There's some WhatsAppers that are taking you on that challenge, by the way. So just letting you know.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
There's some WhatsAppers.
You just said
someone can challenge you, so I'm just telling you.
Among the ignorance that exists in this world, and September 11th actually proved that. The fact that it's 9/11 alone, the actual naming of it, suggests that somehow you're never supposed to forget about this. But back in 2006, even the man, the president at the time, 2004 or 2005, George Bush was speaking about pandemic. Huh? The guy after him, Obama, was speaking about a pandemic.
Yeah.
You might probably say, wait, they are visionaries. I mean, they have to see forward. What you have to realize, of course, is that every decade or so, something happens that more or less puts this whole tourist... You know, after September 11th, people say, oh, we can't recover from this. Oh, the airplane's not coming to Barbados. What are we going to do? And all of a sudden, you had the Wall Street crash. Well, I mean, that is inexplicable. How could that have happened? Even these agencies, the same Standard & Poor's that tries to rate Barbados as C-minus and beggar status and stuff. Standard & Poor's, how could they possibly have gotten those over-the-counter trading facilities wrong? They had all of these, many of the companies that they had, they were rated AAA by 2009 had shut down because they had gone belly up. They could not have withstood the kind of contagion that took place. They got it wrong. The head Greenspan got it wrong. And yet, of course, nobody really and truly went. Only one person went to jail for that whole thing. One person. And he was on a minor outside outskirts. If our guy, the man who actually brought World Cup cricket one day, international cricket, what's his name? Mr. Sir Stamford. Sir Stamford get a lock up. And nobody ever hears about, he's not even a sir anymore, I think. You think he had to return that particular sirship. All the cricketers ran away from him. And all that he was doing was what the insurance companies do today and the banks. Nobody in 2008 got what Sir Stamford got. And you ask yourself a question, well, how is this happening? And now here it is again, exactly 100 years, almost to the day, when you had the Spanish flu, when people walking about with masks on their face and have social distancing. All this took place already back in 1919. The same old foolishness on the same coronavirus kind of thing. What, is that coincidental? Or did they actually get the dates wrong by a couple of months because perhaps that's the way the Lord upstairs works? I mean, you all don't think about these things. Almost 100 years, and you got the same coronavirus coming back. If I was to say to the government of Barbados, I want you all to put some kind of strategies in place to protect Barbados from the common cold, my, they would get laughed out the house. The common cold is a coronavirus. I want to see how you're going to protect, and every time you say, okay, I got the common cold here, by next year, coming in a different form and fashion.
But let me ask you something, Auntie, quickly. Would you agree that the common cold versus the coronavirus is spread a little... Which is spread faster to you, the common cold, and then more deadlier?
The common cold is... There are two major things. The virulence, which is how it spreads, and yes, you know, the death rate. You know, how many people get it and they actually do die, and the two of them are very highly related. We had something about here called the eye. That thing used to affect the eye. What did I call it again?
Conjunctivitis. Conjunctivitis.
All I had to do was look at somebody too hard and they got it. You know, that was extremely virulent. There's no way that coronavirus, that this coronavirus could compare with that. But, of course, that death rate was very, very low. The coronavirus itself is extraordinarily low compared to Ebola. I mean, Ebola, if you get Ebola, 60% of them are dead. I don't care how young
but or old. But can Ebola spread as quickly as corona, Auntie?
Yeah, that's the point. So it's virulent as well as thing. Mm-hmm. So you're going to shut on, do all of these things. Let's say we're going after the common cold. Let me say that's the common cold, because the common cold is the coronavirus. You're going to do all these things and say we're going to stamp out the common cold. And we're going to have a second shutdown because the common cold may come back. You know it's going to come back. You know it's going to come back. Because the common cold, we've been fighting the common cold for as long as there was a human being.
Well, you know that they do a vaccine every year for the flu, and it's never an exact science, it's guesswork.
But the flu is not really coronavirus, but the reality is even the flu itself, which has probably an equivalent death rate as this particular virus, you know, you don't treat it that way either. All you're going to sneeze at somebody, and they have the flu, you get the flu too. And the flu affects, the coronavirus is a little more complex than the flu really is. But the truth be told, you know, it spreads the same way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, asking about wearing a mask.
I don't even want to cut you because I got 4 minutes to spare and four calls. And I'm sorry you came in so late, but I can give you a final word here, Auntie, and hopefully that you'll be able to continue the discussion with me the next time I'm on.
Anything that happens after this virus has to take into consideration the general well-being of the society. Barbados is a very, very sick country. 6 out of 10 people have hypertension. This virus affects people whose immune system does not work well.
Correct.
We have the ability to fix... Oh, I'm going to get cut now.
No, correct. Right. I just said correct.
The way to go forward is to... You know, we had a man coming up on the radio station a year and a half ago saying, oh, Barbadians like sugar. We love sugar. So we are only filling the demand for sugar. There is absolutely no legislation that contains these people who produce sweet drinks and telling them, okay, you can't put that kind of sugar into the sweet drinks because you know you're going to affect the health of the community. We need to be a fit society. If you were fit, if everybody in Barbados had an immune system that works, the coronavirus would have no problem. This is where we are now, though,
anti-America. So if we have about this high percentage of comorbidities now, what we should be doing, yes, is the future and being healthy. But we got to deal with who we have here now, and it's quite high.
No, what is quite high?
Hypertension, diabetes, kidney failure.
Exactly. And the point is that there are actually, the way they're going after coronavirus, they should have been going after these things as well, too. And these things kill. You have cancer. Let me tell you the truth. You got cancer. It depends on the kind of cancer. Let me put all the cancers together. If you put all the cancers together, you have cancer.
Oh, I see.
60% of
you
are going.
You have a good point. What you're trying to say is that the amount of money, the ads, the attention Corona got.
Thank you.
It should be double for the cancer, kidney disease, hypertension,
the real killers,
the diabetes,
man.
The real. I know, I agree with you 100%. I can take one more caller. I want to thank you because you actually, two more, one more. Okay. We can see if we're going to get through. Down to brass tacks.
Joya.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to ask you if you know this. You know that we talking about Corolla as we ought to. But you know that in northern Mongolia, they got about 8 or 10 people out there with the bubonic plague.
You hear that? I'm hearing that it has somehow resurfaced.
But they got contained. You hear that, though?
Apparently, they said it never really went anywhere.
Yeah, but that's what
there have been one or
contained.
Two cases a yearly that they have.
They have it contained. But you know that bubonic plague, when it was about, it killed 10 million people.
Yep, back in 13 something it was.
Yeah, but let me just say this to you. I speak daily with multiple friends in the States. I know one thing that they've been telling me, that it is not easy to get a test, a coronavirus test in America. So the question I'm asking then is, where do these people that are coming to Barbados, where would they go and get their test? If there's a special place for them to go, if they go to hospital, where do they go?
In because Barbados?
In America.
Obviously, in America, they're having some trouble because they certainly don't have access to testing in the way that we do. Funny enough, they're supposed to be this superpower, but they've failed miserably in controlling this virus. I mean, look, we could look at life in two ways. Barbados is small, and therefore it should be easy to control. Or Barbados is small, and it's easy to take 30,000 people out. It all depends on the policies that are put in place, but more importantly, what we do as individuals. Each person, if we do the right thing, then we should hopefully get through this. And on the last note, a plea to the government, a plea to the Tsar, kindly, for the sake of the people who called and WhatsApped and those who were just listening, we need some clarity on those protocols regarding persons coming in with the negative test, and having to be quarantined, and is it mandatory? Are they managed? Are they monitored more so than just a visit? And we would like some clarification on that. I believe Barbadians would sleep a little easier if that is shared. And to those who are not wearing their mask, kindly wear your mask, and then kindly remove the mask when you're not around people so that you can breathe easier. It's an applied sense thing. And you must know if you're amongst persons that you're not familiar with, you're not in your household, that you're shopping with, the louder you speak, the more droplets are coming out. And you know Barbadians, especially when in a rum shop, they get a little heated with the politics and so on. So, you know, a number of droplets, golf balls, if you want to call them, would come out. And sometimes you don't even feel them. Hence the reason why it's important to wear your mask if you're going to speak to someone, especially if you're going to raise your voice. I want to thank our producer, Mr. John Stout. Thank all of the callers. I do apologize to the WhatsAppers. I must say, you really lit up the WhatsApp for me today, and I couldn't get through all of them. To the listeners, you didn't participate, but I heard you learned something. And to the Tsar, I will leave that hopefully to the next moderator to pick up on getting some clarification on what was asked today. Until, God bless.